Republicans have taken control of the House of Representatives. That's not the headline today. They've made gains in the Senate. That's not the headline today either. What was probably the headline today is whether or not we're actually going to get anything passed in the new Congress. President Obama.
That's the headline?
Yeah, don't you think?
But
consensus
that's a presumed,
lack thereof?
That's a presumption. I mean,
well, to a certain extent, we have somebody here
might not get
who can actually answer that. Peter Baker's with us. He's the White House correspondent for a partner of the New York Times. And Peter, wouldn't you say the Republicans have actually been pretty clear about whether or not they're going to work with the other side of the aisle or not?
Well, I think what you've got, good morning, by the way, what you've got here is much like the situation 2 years ago when President Obama came into office and he said, look, he told Republicans who were advancing some of their ideas at the time, he said, look, elections have consequences and I won. And what he meant by that is, yes, I'm willing to compromise as long as you do what I want. And I think what you're seeing today is the same thing on the Republican side. Senator Mitch McConnell said, basically, the voters didn't elect us because they wanted us to compromise. They elected us because they were happy that we stopped some of the things that President Obama wanted to do. So I think what you see here is a prescription for some pretty tough times ahead and a really big question as to whether the two sides, in fact, do come together or find the next 2 years in perpetual conflict leading up to the 2012 presidential election.
Okay. Peter Baker, I want to play you two particular comments. This first one is from President Obama's press conference yesterday.
What yesterday also told us is that no one party will be able to dictate where we go from here, that we must find common ground in order to set, in order to make progress on some uncommonly difficult challenges.
Okay, there's a president saying, look, neither of the parties have taken over Congress completely, so we're going to have to work together. Here's Dan Rather's comment, a comment that he made on MSNBC.
Mitch McConnell has virtually said so that politically he wants to cut out his heart and throw his liver to the dogs. He has to be a fighter. His reputation as president so far is he's a little soft. He plays soft. He's got to demonstrate, and I think in this news conference, yes, I will work with him, but I'm prepared to fight him on things that really matter to me.
What's your response to this? I mean, there we hear President Obama saying, okay, guys, let's work together. We have to with a split Congress. And Dan Rather saying that's the wrong way to go.
Well, you know, it's going to be a mix. I think, if you go back to President Clinton's first midterm when he also lost the Congress, lost both houses of Congress, what he eventually came up with as a strategy was sort of a blend of confrontation and conciliation. He found areas where they could work together, like welfare reform, and then he confronted them on at moments when it seemed advantageous to, like in the federal government shutdown. So he did look like what Dan Rather talked about. He looked like a leader and a fighter on some issues without making it entirely about conflict. So we'll see. It's an interesting question whether it's better for a president to fight or to compromise. You'll hear partisans on both sides eagerly awaiting the fight, and yet the economy is in such dire straits, and the country in such need of some form of leadership on deficit spending, on so many other issues, that there's, I think, also a cry for making some sort of progress.
This situation is so familiar, though, isn't it, Peter? I mean, every single time one party takes over the House while the president is still in office, we get the president saying, this is my fault, I should have been, a better communicator, and we're going to reach across the aisle. And then you have the party that took over, and it doesn't matter if it's Democrats or Republicans saying, we have the voice of the people. The people are in support of our policies. We don't need to compromise. I mean, this keep happening over and over and over again?
It has been more of a pattern in recent times. For a long time, this didn't happen. For about 40 years, the Democrats controlled the House leading up to the Clinton era, and then the last three presidents have each seen a pretty significant midterm reversal. So, what the lessons are in that is that I think that there is no such thing as a permanent majority. There is no such thing as a governing majority in this country. After each election, you hear the victors come out and say, well, we really shaped the paradigm. We really, completely invented a whole new politics in this country. Karl Rove talked about this after President Bush's victories. You heard John Podesta and James Carville, Democrats, saying similar things after President Obama's victories 2 years ago. And in fact, that's just not where the country is, obviously.
Well, your colleague yesterday, Stolberg, I forget her first name now, Carol Gay Stolberg, who we've had on the program a million times, and I can't remember her name. She's so close. But she said brilliantly that the idea of continuity here is in this sense of we need change, but it's a jump ball. It just keeps being passed around. I'm sick and tired of the rhetoric that sounds so familiar from cycle to cycle to cycle. What's the mechanism for actually grabbing the ball and doing something with it? Is it Congress? Is it the president? Is it some other mechanism that we haven't even heard of yet? It seems to me that there's no real way to stop the jump ball.
Well, that's a good point. And I think that what reminds us is that it's easy to misinterpret election results, right? If you come to power, as the Democrats did in the 2006 congressional election and the 2008 presidential election, on the back of a negative mandate, in other words, we're running because we're not the other guy. If you don't like George Bush, vote for us. Then you have to recognize the public may not have necessarily embraced all the ideas that you would like to advance, as we've seen in this particular election. The president's ideas on stimulus and health care and so forth were not necessarily, the mandates he had won 2 years ago. The Republicans coming in now have the same risk. You know, they also ran a negative mandate campaign. We're not Barack Obama. We will stop Barack Obama. So do they have a mandate then for any of the specific ideas that they're about to put forward? We'll see.
Well, Peter Baker, please give me some hope. Tell me that we're just not going to keep repeating this now that we've come into this era of flip-flopping over and over. Tell me that situation is so dire at this point that the parties are ready to work together.
Well, how does that hopey changey thing working out for you, right? Sarah Palin asked us at one point. We'll see. I mean, you know, I think that it can be too easy, I think, to sit there and project nothing but gridlock. There was some, you know, movement yesterday on the part of the president. He said he was absolutely willing to negotiate on the tax cut dispute between him and Republicans, whether all the tax cuts put under in place by President Bush should be extended or only those for middle class. He acknowledged that he's not going to get a cap and trade bill on the environment to cap carbon emissions, which is very unpopular in some parts of the country.
So maybe you're saying
things like, you know, clean energy and so forth, where he can work with Republicans. So, you know, if they want to work together, there is room for it.
Peter Baker, White House correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, he says maybe. That's the takeaway here. Mm-hmm.